I heard someone the other day say that while we keep the moral aspects of the Ten Commandments, we don't keep the seventh day Sabbath, since that was only for Israel. While the person doesn't understand the grafting in process that is occurring today through the Messiah, there are those that are, and they're asking, what do we do on the Sabbath day? Remembering the seventh day, what to do on the seventh day Sabbath? This morning we had a bit of snow, and I spent a lot of my morning working. Well, in part. I mean, it wasn't regular work. It was a type of ox-in-the-ditch situation. We had to scrape off the ice of the window and of the car and brush off the snow and had to spread some salt. Hey, we're the salt of the earth, aren't we? Spreading a little salt here and there. It's not such a bad thing. But today is a joyful day. It is to be a day of blessing. A blessing for us, a blessing for others, a blessing especially to Yahweh. And that's why we're here, to worship Him in His Spirit, in His truth, on the day that He set apart from creation. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14, from the Message Bible. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, Yahweh's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you will be free to enjoy Yahweh. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, Yahweh says so. Wow. I like how that reads. Puts a smile on my face. And I'm glad to see the smiles out in the congregation. It is certainly a joyful day. And while it's appropriate to rest outdoors and even eat popcorn if you wanted to, it is specifically to be a day of joy and happiness. You're not to worry about your regular job or going to the stores to do business. It's a day to take and enjoy, focusing on Yahweh and thinking about His ways in our life. It is, without question, a day of worship and a day of rest. Leviticus 23, 2 through 3, through the Scriptures. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yahweh, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, my appointed times are these. 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a set-apart gathering. You do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. Okay, 6 days we work. This is given. But the seventh day is set apart. No work on the seventh day. What if it's a medical industry that you're helping others with on the seventh day? I mean, that question comes up. Well, get out of the industry or let your employer know that you can't work on that day. The world is out of sync with Yahweh's ways, and we are not to be out of sync, but rather to be obedient and in line with His word. Does this mean we can't go to the hospital on the Sabbath if there is an emergency? No, not at all. Does it mean that we can't call the police if someone is robbing our house? Not at all. There are ox-in-the-ditch situations in which we must deal with no matter what the day is. Yahweh, however, does not want His people working regular jobs on the Sabbath day. One can be in a service position even for 6 days on a regular job, but not on the seventh day of the week, nor on any of the other seven annual Sabbaths, which Leviticus 23 specifically lists. Is Sabbath only for the Jews or only for Israel? It says in verse 2 of Leviticus 23 that they are Yahweh's appointed times. And I just looked at an email today and they're asking me about Moses' law. Is that for us today? Well, you know, we all come in at a different level. Some of us are just growing and starting to learn. So it's not wrong to ask, well, what do I do on the Sabbath day? I'm not able to travel, you know, this great distance to be with you. And there's no one around that I can meet with. So what do I do? Can I go walk in the park? It's a nice day out. Creation, I can take in Yahweh's creation and think about His ways? Sure, there's things that we can do on the Sabbath day. It's not to be a burden. But what did the Pharisees do? They added this and that and the other thing and made it a burden. And Yahweh says it's to be a day of delight. So we don't fast on this day. We actually feast on this day. It's a, you know, it's a bit of a celebration, a time of rest, a time to think about what Yahweh's done in our lives and what He's doing, what He has yet to do still. But what if you're disabled and unemployed and you're just not able to travel to where others gather in His name? While there are conditions rather than objections, there is a difference that can arise. We can do the best we can where we're at to honor Him. One of those things is to remember the seventh day and to keep it holy. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. From sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That's a 24-hour period for us. We keep the day holy unto Yahweh. Is watching the ball game on Sabbath keeping Sabbath holy? Well, I'm thinking the family circus cartoonist here understood what it meant to keep the Sabbath day holy. It's a bit of an old paper that this was gotten out of, so the image isn't very good. But I think it's pretty telling. Roughing the Kicker. A fine way to keep holy the Sabbath. Notice the date. It was sent out on Saturday. And of course, we understand that is the seventh day. In other languages, it has more of a meaning of Sabbath. Well, we understand that we're not in a perfect society. In the kingdom, it'll be called the Sabbath day. Everyone will understand. It'll be the seventh day of the week. Anytime we have a question on what to do on the Sabbath, we should ask the question, is it keeping the Sabbath day holy? That'll keep us out of a lot of trouble, I think. Can we watch the news to see what current events are taking place in the world? Sure. What about taking time to walk in the park and take in Yahweh's creation? Yeah. Is studying Yahweh's word or listening to messages on the Sabbath all right? Absolutely. We are to focus on Yahweh on this day. Can I go and visit a relative? Well, yeah. But be aware that if the relative is not a believer, you may find yourself talking about his or her job or other worldly things, which are best left for the other 6 days of the week. But if you can visit a family member without taking away from the Sabbath, you'll no doubt find an extra joy and love in the day. Yahweh has allowed us to have families, and there is to be love and peace in them as much as is possible on our part. And we see this in Scripture written out plainly. I remember spending a week at my mother's house, but I also remember the difficulty that we had on the Sabbath day. Other family members came over. They all wanted to go out to the restaurant and do other things, and it just wasn't right because we don't buy or sell on the Sabbath day. We can take a look at that. But I also remember attending a Sabbath-keeping group in which some members thought it was all right to go to a restaurant. So there's different understandings. There's not everyone has got it all straight, in their mind on what they should do. Or if they do one thing that they think is right, best beware it may not be correct. And going out on the Sabbath and doing our own thing and these type of things is not right. Now we do prepare. There's some confusion over the preparation day. In Scripture, that is defined as the day before the first annual Sabbath, and the first one of the seven annual Sabbaths. That's the day of unleavened bread. But we do have a bit of a preparation day before the weekly Sabbath. I mean, I know Carrie spent some time the other day preparing something for the meal today. We don't want to spend a lot of time in doing up fanciful meals on the day of the Sabbath. So we take time out prior to the Sabbath coming, and we get all these things taken care of. I knew a minister who used to say, well, if you're watching a movie and you find it runs into the Sabbath, just go ahead and watch the rest of the movie. I disagree with that. I don't think we should be watching a movie prior to the Sabbath when we know ahead of time when the Sabbath begins. and we can check online, we can see, you know, have an idea of when the sun's going to set. We do a visual observation, but we know ahead of time when it should be setting on the Sabbath. So there's certain things that we do, there's certain things that we don't do. Each one is to work out their own salvation in that respect. Some feel you can't do this, or you should do this, but can't do this other thing. Work it out. But whatever you do, don't be pharisaical about keeping the Sabbath. It's not right. Yahshua had a lot of things to say against the Pharisees about their pharisaical ways and the things that they added to Yahweh's law that just distorted it and made it not a day of joy, but a burden. And they had burdensome ways. Nehemiah 10:31. If the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. Now, this is back in Nehemiah's time. This is back when the Babylonian captivity had occurred. They're coming back. They're learning, I think, how to be obedient to the Father. And I think one thing that we see today is the Jews in Israel understand that, you know, hey, they went into captivity for 70 years because they were breaking Sabbath, land Sabbath, weekly Sabbath. They were disobedient to Yahweh's instructions. And so one thing that they're very careful about is keeping the Sabbath. But as Yahshua pointed out, and as we've seen, and we even see today, there are things that that are done that aren't necessarily kosher, even though they look at them as such. Nehemiah was a strong-willed man, and he knew that, in fact, I think he was given strength by Yahweh, but took it to the point where he made sure that Yahweh's ways were done up correctly. And that meant some training wheels of sorts needed to be put on. Jeremiah 13:15-18, the English Standard Version. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day that they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing? You're profaning the Sabbath day." He said it plainly. Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our Elohim bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath? So Nehemiah knew better, and he's trying to get the others to see. You know, look, why did we go into captivity? Don't you understand? We need to be obedient to Yahweh, or he's going to punish us. He confronted the nobles of Judah about the evil thing that they were doing by allowing things to be sold on the Sabbath and willing to purchase these things also on the Sabbath. He proclaimed that he would, a little later, he proclaimed that he would personally lay hands on anyone who waited at the gates. He commanded that the gates be shut to put a stop to the buying and selling. That's how important the Sabbath day is. Today, the Jews in Jerusalem close shop on the seventh day and all holy days. But what do they do? Well, they go and worship at the synagogues, but the Orthodox Jews tend to do pharisaical things also. Many who start turning to Yahweh look at what the Jews do today, but forget that there is still pharisaical actions taking place. Some Jews light candles so that no electricity will be used. They'll tear tissue, toilet tissue, so that they don't have to when they go to the bathroom. They won't flip a switch, let alone turn on a microwave. Pharisaical. Some new believers see this and think they must do the same. Well, they have the truth. No, they have traditions. Not exactly in line with the truth. makes the Sabbath a burden not to do that. Let's go to Matthew 12, 8 through 12, New American Standard Bible. The Son of Man is master of the Sabbath. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, speaking of Yahshua, and a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Yahshua, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. This was their attitude. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." I can just hear the frustration, I think, from Yahshua when he spoke to them, because he knew the evil intent of their heart, and he knew what they were up to. And eventually they wanted to kill him. And I think, you know, we are all responsible in our actions in the past, doing wrong. We need a Savior. We need help. But this gets back to the ox in the ditch situations we sometimes run across. We have to discern what is appropriate. If your neighbor has run out of gas coming home from somewhere and he has to push the vehicle in his driveway and ask you for help, go out and help him. But if he is trimming trees on the Sabbath and asks you to ask if you can help him clean it up and get the branches and take it to the dump, it's your opportunity to tell him about the Sabbath and why you don't do regular work on that day. He may say, it's not regular work. He only does it once a year. You'll still have to stand your ground and let him know you can't help him because there are 6 other days to do work during the week. And it may not make him very happy, but we are to please Yahweh in such situations rather than men. Better to have man angry than Yahweh. Let's go over to Numbers 15, 32 through 36, the New International Version. A man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Some translations say sticks. It wasn't a light matter, though. He was working hard to do this, evidently. Verse 33, those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody because it was not clear what they should, what should be done about him. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "The man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp." So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Again, who are we to obey? Yahweh. Actually, when it comes to the laws of the land, we are to obey both Yahweh and man, because, there are certain laws that keep order. But if man tries to trump Yahweh's ways, then that's a problem. We have to follow Yahweh rather than man. This is the main reason I never joined the military. Otherwise, I probably would have, since there are many benefits offered. Paid schooling, medical, etc. Yet I had the knowledge of the Sabbath day, which was set apart from creation. Exodus 34 through 14. Or Exodus 34 chapter, or verse 14 rather. King James Version. For thou shalt worship no other God, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous El. We've recently been talking about Allah and how we're not to worship anyone other than Yahweh. But there are also things we can humble ourselves towards that become just like a false idol or God. If I had chosen to go into the military, knowing full well it would have been against Yahweh, it would have been an idol for me. Anything that comes between you and Yahweh is a figurative idol. Careers, hobbies, desires of the flesh, anything, you name it. All idols, if they take you away from Yahweh, or all are idols if they take you away from Yahweh. I was watching an interview between Oprah Winfrey and Steven Tyler. I don't know if you know who that individual is. He's a lead singer for Aerosmith. And they got into a bit of a conversation about G.O.D. And I was happy to hear Steven Tyler believing. Maybe he was an atheist. Maybe he was agnostic. But he doesn't seem to be anymore. But he said he had a sense of of him in the music. And Oprah said she thought the music was G-O-D. And I could see in Steven Tyler's expression, he didn't agree with that. But, you know, however you want to look at it, there's confusion on both sides. But the music can actually become an idol. Anything that takes all of your time and in which you don't take time out to read the Bible, to spend time with Yahweh and worship, it can be an idol, a type of G-O-D. And for some, it is exactly that, especially when it comes to music today. I mean, we're told to lift up holy hands, but people are lifting up hands for everything that, but holy, or, you know, for everything and anything but what is holy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, 26 through, or 24 through 26, the scriptures. You know, we can spend our whole lives putting things in between us and Yahweh, and ultimately we lose in the end. Joshua emphasized it as a pointless endeavor. Then Joshua said to his taught ones, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up a stake and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever loses the tickets to go to the concert on Friday night, whoever avoids the ball games so that they can keep the Sabbath holy, whoever puts aside their life for Yahweh, for Yahshua, saves it." He goes on to say, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" We're given choices. We're given choices daily. We're told in Messiah we'll be forgiven of our sins and gain eternal life if we overcome in him and do his Father's will. It's what is being offered. But there are those that are missing the boat, so to speak, because worldly things get in the way. And the Sabbath is forgotten, the sign between Yahweh and his people Israel. Yes, Israel, and any who will join and be grafted in through Yahshua the Messiah. When Carrie and I lived in Hawaii and were learning about the sacred names along with the deeper truths of Scripture, we kept the Feast of Tabernacles at a campground. But we couldn't get there. The permits weren't allowed until like the next day. So we ended up camping out in the backyard, essentially. And we know of others that do the same. They're unable to travel for whatever reason, a condition that they find themselves in. They're still doing the best that they can. Well, we learned a valuable lesson because the neighbors had a party that night, and they were up all night, virtually all night. And I was forced to, I was forced to think about what it must have been like for Egypt, having come out of the land. You know, they would have been joyful. They probably would have not been able to have slept very soundly that night. They would have rejoiced in Yahweh. But the world does their own type of rejoicing, and it's not in Yahweh. It's just worldly. Turns out that the seventh-day Sabbath is to allow us to recall this to mind, that is coming out of Egypt. What is the fourth commandment? It's Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. But it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall do no work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." The spiritual lessons, the insights that we receive today from remembering and honoring Yahweh's Sabbath is clear. We are, even today, reminded that we have come out of spiritual Egypt to worship Yahweh and do what he says. While it took Harry and I some time to eventually keep the Sabbaths and other appointed times where Yahweh has placed his name, it was obvious that he has seen us through the wilderness travels and has kept us safe from harm and from the enemy that has pursued us. He'll do the same for you. It is a test and it is difficult at times, but there is joy and happiness for those who strive and overcome to do Yahweh's will and to do what's right in his sight. Don't give up, but keep striving to do the best you can. Let's go over to Hebrews 4. I broke this up a little bit because I wanted to emphasize certain parts of this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. There remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. Let us therefore do our utmost to enter that rest, lest anyone, Jew, Gentile, anyone, fall after the same example of disobedience. And of course, Israel's example is written down for us so that we will not do what they did, which was wrong, but that we'll do what they did, which was right, and follow Yahweh's commandments. What was Israel's problem? It was that they were backsliders. They were disobedient. They sinned. We are not to sin, but rather we are to be obedient to Yahweh's instructions in the spirit of Yahweh. How do we remember the Sabbath? By being obedient and not neglecting what we know to be true, submitting to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, seeking the eternal rest, the promise of eternal life for those that overcome in the Word and do not backslide as ancient Israel did. I feel like I have more. I think there's a lot of areas that we could look at in and concerning the Sabbath. We have a lot of literature. We have other messages that get into the subject matter. But if you're new, if you're wondering about these things, go through the studies, listen to the other messages, learn what to do. But be careful, because there are some things we are not to do. The traditions of men, for example, the things that are in error. We're to follow what is right and true, and that is according to Yahweh's word in the spirit of truth. Hallelujah.